about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there.
Our brains
is
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart. And you don't have any idea why we're doing most of the things that we're doing. But here's the deal. The present doesn't have to be on fire if the future could be even better.
Even better.
I'm Art Markman.
I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy. And this is Two Guys on Your Head. Today, hope and motivation.
Most people are loath to engage in anything that they don't feel there's at least some chance that they'll be able to succeed.
Which, by the way, is a good idea.
It's a way good idea.
Because getting involved in stuff where there's really no chance of success is...
Exactly.
Silly. There's no small thing there, right? Yep. Sometimes if you're in a lousy mood, just thinking about the good things in your life gets you through the day, and sometimes that's what you need. But it's not motivating. Feeling good about where you are in your life right now is actually unmotivating.
Right.
You are actually less likely to do anything because, frankly, if everything's so good right now, why would I
put any forth any effort? Right?
You're right. I mean, all I could do is mess it up. It's all downhill from here. Every step I take is going to be worse. So you actually need to be a little bit dissatisfied with your life in order to be motivated to do something. And so on those days when you need hope, because things are just really bad, thinking positive thoughts is great. But if you're feeling lousy because there's a lot of work that needs to be done around you, then after you snap yourself out of that bad mood a little bit, it's now time to get to work, which means open your eyes and pay attention to all the things that actually need to be done and stop thinking how great everything is.
Yeah. And, you know, what's interesting about this in terms of any human decision to act is that we don't really do anything unless we're at least somewhat dissatisfied with the status quo. And, you know, one of the things that people do to motivate other people is to make them more dissatisfied with the status quo. Now, since we're in the midst of a political season, if you think about many of the motivating or intended to be motivating statements that people are saying, it's not, you know, things are great. You know, let's just enjoy the greatness of our nation.
So let's make them great again.
Exactly. Let's make them great again. And I think what people see in that, right, is how dissatisfaction is so intensely motivated.
And even if there's nothing negative in the present, contrasting the present with the future also creates a sense of dissatisfaction.
That's a great point.
So things might be perfectly fine right now, but they could be better.
Yeah.
And so when I begin to focus on the stuff I don't have that I could have, that creates dissatisfaction in ways that might actually motivate me to do something. Now, we've talked about something similar to this when we've talked about the hedonic treadmill, and we've talked about it in a negative way. Because if all you're doing is accumulating stuff, mm-hmm. that kind of mental contrasting can kind of get you in trouble, because what it does is it says, you've got all this great stuff, but you don't have one of these. And now I'm dissatisfied and I'll think, but everything will be okay once I get one of those. But that same thing can be done, say, in your career, where you might be in a perfectly good place in your career, but there still may be things you want to achieve. And by recognizing those things that you haven't achieved yet, you can create a sense of dissatisfaction so that even though everything you've done so far is perfectly good, that contrast means that you're not satisfied yet and you work hard to achieve this next thing.
Yeah.
So the present doesn't have to be on fire if the future could be even better.
Even better.
And that is the motivating hope.
Yeah.
So you create this contrast between where you are now and the desired future. Now, that contrast may or may not be motivating, depending on whether you think you can bridge the gap. And if you can't bridge the gap, then you throw up your hands and you go, can't do this. Forget it.
Right.
But if you believe that you can achieve that goal, then you're motivated. And that's the other kind of hope, because that's the hope that says, I believe that if I continue to do this work, then eventually I will reach the desired goal and it will make me happy.
And if you think about the common riff of every so-called motivational speaker, it's about you can do stuff that you don't now think you can do.
And there's another piece to this. So I wrote a blog entry this morning about a study that was actually looking, the study was actually designed to look at the relationship between feelings and choices. But they documented something that a few other people have done as well, but I thought they did this really nicely, where they had one group of people look at a bunch of gambles that they could play in which they might win or lose a particular amount of money. And they asked them, how good or bad do you think you'll feel if you win or lose this money? And then they also later in this actually played some of these gambles and asked them, well, you won this amount or you lost this amount. How good or bad do you feel that you won or lost this amount of money? And it turns out that you don't feel as good as you think you're going to feel when you win the money. And you don't feel as bad as you think you're going to feel when you lose it. And so your anticipated emotions are stronger than the actual emotions you experience in the moment. And that's important when it comes to things like hope, because a lot of times we either choose to engage in something because we think we're going to feel better when we achieve it than we actually do. But perhaps more importantly, there are many times where we choose not to do something because we think if it goes wrong, we're going to feel bad, when in fact we would feel far less bad than we think we're going to feel if that negative outcome happens. And so we talk ourselves out of a lot of things on the basis of the strength of these anticipated emotions.
Next week, we'll talk about omission bias with Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke. You can subscribe to the podcast of Two Guys on Your Head on iTunes, Stitcher, or SoundCloud, and leave us a review while you're there. We'd love to know what you think of the show. David Alvarez is our engineer, and I'm Rebecca McEnroy. I produce Two Guys on Your Head at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas.